You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIV_hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com. Hello, good evening and welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yes.
Good evening to everyone.
Yes, absolutely. I'm doing okay. The sun's still shining. I know I say that every time, but it seems to be overshining when we stop coming on air for some reason. But how's everybody else?
I'm fine, actually. Yeah, not too bad. Just settling into my new abode.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I've got a leak now, though. It's always funny. Isn't it? You move into somewhere new. I think my roof needs...
You got a bucket? Out, so.
No, it's not leaking, as in I just noticed. I thought, oh, my God, there's a patch in the kitchen. And I looked outside because I'm in a bungalow, so it's the joint between the flat roof and the roof. So I think that's what... I'm on the case.
You're on it.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. How about you, Tony?
Been all right. I just started a new job last week. So it's like, go. But I'm working from home, which is yay. Always business on top and party below. Do you know what I mean? On Zoom calls.
Yeah.
It's good. What about you, Stephen? How's your week been?
It's been busy, Tony. I'm having technical difficulties at the moment, so I'm using my phone to be on this call. So I'm kind of learning every day as we go along how to maneuver things. So, but yeah, I'm doing good.
Amazing the technology, isn't it? What we can do it on our phones. I mean, we'll say for the listeners that because we're on Zoom and we're doing it in different devices, so we'll try to keep the quality as tip-top as possible.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So what we've got on the show, we've got we're having a chat later, aren't we, about an update on monkeypox.
Yes. Yeah, and there's been lots of celebrations and commemorations happening. I know we've had the Jubilee, but in the HIV world, we've had lots of stuff going on, people being commemorated and awards given. So we're going to be doing a rundown of some of those really great things that have been happening. And I know you've got a great interview with Gary Partridge, haven't you, Josh?
Yeah, so he's from Lunch Positive, which is a Brighton organisation. They've been awarded the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, which is amazing. So I'm going to have a chat with Gary later on. So.
Brilliant.
So shall we have a song and then get on with the show?
It's good.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can also get us on the famous podcast.
Absolutely. Yep.
So we've had all the Jubilee celebrations, haven't we, over the last couple of days?
Did you have a good one?
To mark the, is it 70 years?
No, 70 years.
Years on the throne.
Yeah. Gosh.
Did you have a good weekend then, everyone?
I won a hamper. A Jubilee fete. I got first prize in the hamper, so I remember it.
Oh, nice.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because everyone pulls together, don't they? So it's interesting. But it also brings up things about Diana's legacy as well, and how much she helped with HIV and AIDS.
I think it was really... It was not shocking at the time, but it was really good to see that. I don't know how those echelon of people in the public eye actually connect with HIV people at that time. And it was just, amazing what she did. And her,
she was the first royal, wasn't she? She was the first royal that said, you don't have to wear rubber gloves, and touched a patient living with AIDS as it was seen then. And it being astonishing, shocked, first of all, the royal family, or the members of the royal family, and also the public. But it also sent a really important message into the community, didn't it, I think? Well, I remember seeing it. And it was a bit of a breakthrough. I think it, she set a prevalence to, you know what, doesn't, if I can do it, anyone can, you know, touch someone and, you know, be showed empathy and passion and compassion, I believe.
You look at how stigma is now, but look at stigma when that happened. She went to the hospital, didn't she? And the guy kissed her on the cheek and it was a big, oh my God, oh my God. And it's like, I think even then it broke down some of the stigma, whereas we've still got some of that today. So, you know, we've still got loads of work to do, but she did do an amazing job.
Yeah, and I think as well, Tony, to see those photographs again, because people, a couple of people had posted them on Facebook, that picture of her with the guy at the London Lighthouse, you know, seeing that picture again, it still has power, it's still effective after all these years. So, yeah.
And hopefully, you know, Prince William and will carry on that. And a legacy, I think he will do. I mean, yes, it's just bringing people together. But it's also like, obviously, with monkeypox coming on, emerging, it's interesting the similarities between HIV and how it was seen and how this might be seen. Hopefully, it won't be the same CERN.
It seems to be they're really quite on it, but I know we're going to have a chat about that later on. I mean, I get the impression they're really on this, the monkeypox. They're really trying, we'll chat about that later.
Yeah. So also, THT, obviously it's 40 years for THT, and the OBE was two of the founders of THT got an OBE, wasn't it?
Amazing, actually. Do you know that I've been part of THT for many years, and I'm still learning things. I'm still learning information and finding that information. A few weeks ago, there was the Lifetime Achievements Awards in London, and it was at the Rainbow Honours, and this was presented by Stephen Fry. And two things happened. Rupert Whittaker and Martin Butler, they were the founders of the Terence Higgins Trust. In fact, Rupert was Terry Higgins' partner. And Martin Butler, he back in the day, you know, when they were setting up this charity, not knowing where it would go, he actually gave them his personal phone number, so it would use it like a helpline number. So basically, they were awarded at the Rainbow Honours an award by Stephen Fry. Now, I've actually watched the video, and at the award, the information came in to say that they had been awarded the OBE for services to charity and public health. You know, 40 years. I mean, I think that set prevalence to what happened in the HIV field today and all the other amazing, amazing charities that are now running, up and running. I know we're talking about celebrations, and I think it's really worth also mentioning THT won the Rainbow Award for Best Campaign, and it was called Life Really Changed, and it's a campaign I took part in. So it won the Best Campaign of the Year, and that got awarded again by Stephen Fry. So, yeah, so lots of things are happening, and people are being recognised. I think that's the point I was trying to make, Josh. It's great to see that, you know, charities, not just, you know, there's lots of other different charities that get recognised, don't they, for the work they've done over the years. And I think that's really important.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
And just quickly today, just because we're in June, it's 50 years since the first Pride March as well.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. Yes.
Yeah, so So that's a big thing as well. So there's loads of things going on at the moment, celebrations for different things. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good to remember all these kind of things as well, isn't it? We celebrate, and it's also where we come from and why we celebrate these things.
Yes.
Which is important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we've got an update on monkeypox, haven't we? Because it's becoming more prevalent, isn't it? Slowly,
yes.
And I think don't we have? I think it's about 300 people have got it now, and maybe a bit more now.
Yes, I mean, like I said in the intro, Josh, from what I'm seeing at the moment, it seems like, and quite rightly so, it seems like they're throwing everything at this. If we go back 40 years with HIV, it seemed to have been a bit slow when they were sort of trying to, you know, tackle the epidemic, what have you. But monkeypox, apparently the Oxford University are initiating a new clinical trial and looking at a treatment for monkeypox, and it's called the it's TEC Covamat. Have you heard about that, Stephen? They're putting a clinical trial together. So, and they want people to, you know, if they've been affected by monkeypox, if they've been indirectly affected by monkeypox, if they're a healthcare worker and they've been treated. So they're really, it seems to me, and quite rightly so, that they're really sort of throwing everything on. I mean, what I did see in this week, Josh, that it has been seen that the virus has been seen in semen. And I don't know if you've heard that information. Mm. So, and that, but obviously that is now, they're now sort of saying it is possibly an STI, where if it's seen in semen. So, you know, this is what's coming out. It's not what I've read, you know, this is some of the information. And I think we've got to be really careful when we're talking about this, because we've got stigma and what have you, that we only talk about the correct information.
Yeah, these I read today on, I think Al Jazeera it was, that you know, when you're in different countries, react to monkeypox with stigma and stuff, and so there's a guy from the Gulf who he texted someone to, because he was worried about it, and he said, if I get monkeypox, will everyone know I'm gay? So that's the kind of stigma we're still living with, aren't we? And I know everyone in the different countries, it's stigma is different, and so it's all those things that lies underneath this that we have to be on top of.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's worrying, isn't it? It's, you know, you don't want it to be a repeat of what we went through 40 years ago, you know, with the start of HIV/AIDS, you know. But the government, they seem to be keeping an eye on it, don't they? I think after COVID as well, I suppose they need to make sure that they get on top of it this time.
Which then, learning from the mistakes, isn't it? Learning from the mistakes of 40 years ago. And mm-hmm. What do you think, Tony? Have you got any thoughts?
Yeah, just I just think it's going to be, we're just going to have to learn another major lesson, aren't we? And like you guys said, you know, I hope it's not a repeat of what it was 40 years ago. But
I mean, in my opinion, if we have not learned anything in the last 40 years about the HIV virus, we might as well pack up our bags and go home. But I believe we have, and I think that there seem to be, you know, all these, the healthcare professions, you know, that the charities, you know, health profession, you know, England are really, I think they're going to be on it. They're going to be, and I think it's up to us in all the communities is to nip in the bud these misconceptions. You know, when I say they found it in semen, hello, that can mean, you know, it doesn't mean to say in the gay community, let's just shout it out there. It doesn't mean to say that it's been found in semen, right? And that should say.
Yeah, the thing has definitely been pointed to the gays.
I know.
The men have sex with men.
I know.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, reestablish that, you know, and perhaps people may have not got that opportunity years ago, you know, because they were too scared about what the government was saying and the adverts that were going out. We must not let that happen. And I think, you know, as individuals, and, you know, in our, we've all got platforms, and I think it's up to us all to start establish. We do not want things to happen like it did back in the 1980s, and it's up to us as, you know, as human beings to see what happened because of stigma. And I think we need to reiterate that on all of our platforms. I think we all have a job to do, everybody out there. And I'm sure it will. We still got to have faith. I know it's hard, but we've got to, because I think many more people now speak out about things, and
and
have trust in it.
I think as well, you know, I was on Sky News last week talking about monkeypox, mm-hmm. and I said, on the flip side of the coin, I said, it's because that men who have sex with men, gay and bisexual men, are so on top of their sexual health, you know, being tested, so that's why, you know, I feel that's why it's being seen quicker, you know, in gay and bisexual men, because we're just on top of our sexual health. So it's, in a way, that's a kind of star, you know, next to what we're doing, you know, that shows that we have come forward from 40 years ago, definitely.
Yeah, so it's shows like this, and this is different to how it was 40 years ago, isn't it? So we've got shows and we've got organisations that's going to do, and there are things, if you're worried about monkeypox, you can do, and we'll put them on social media, won't we, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On Facebook and Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
And also, Philip Ragg from Brighton THT did a little box about if you're worried and what to do. So we'll play that now. And then we'll come back with Gary Podgeter's interview. Much positive.
Great.
So following on from the story about monkeypox, we've just had, just going to talk to Philip Ragg, who's the sexual health coordinator. Is that right, Philip? From Terence Higgins Trust. Just give us some what's happening with monkeypox and what to do if you feel that you've got symptoms.
So obviously it's kind of an emerging story, but Terence Higgins Trust being the largest HIV charity in the UK, we have produced some information. You can go to our website, tht.org.uk. But the basic message is, if you are experiencing any symptoms, including fever, headache, muscle aches, backache, swollen lymph nodes, chills, exhaustion, have a new rash or blisters on your face or anywhere around your body, then stay at home, call 111, or call THT Direct on 0808 802 1221 for more information. If you are experiencing symptoms and want to go to a sexual health clinic, do not go to a sexual health clinic. Phone the clinic first, and they will explain what you need to do next.
Great. We've got used to staying at home.
We've got used to staying at home. It's just another thing. So but just be cautious. And contact the NHS or THT if you have any worries or concerns.
That's fabulous. Thank you. Thanks, Philip.
No problem.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reefer.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. I've got great pleasure on introducing Gary Podgeter to the programme. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm great, thanks, Josh.
So Gary is the director of the amazing Lunch Positive in Brighton. Now, you've just been given an amazing award, haven't you?
Yeah, we've just received the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's a national award, and only a couple of hundred are given out across the whole country each year.
Wow.
Thousands of people apply. So, yeah, we're really privileged to receive that.
It's the highest award, isn't it, that apparently you can get?
Highest award for voluntary groups, and it's described as the MBE for voluntary organisations.
So when was that? When did that happen then?
So we were awarded that on June the 2nd, which was the Platinum Jubilee Day, the Queen's official birthday. I'd known about it for a month before.
Yeah.
And I'd been asked to keep it an absolute secret from the volunteer team and everybody else. So that was a really hard secret to keep. But yeah, so early June we heard, and people have been overjoyed.
Yeah. So how's the volunteers? Because they must be overjoyed as well.
They're over the moon. And yeah. I mean, people knew that something special was happening. And it was quite funny. I was trying to gather them all together. You know, we've got 30 or 40 volunteers. I was trying to gather everybody for the day.
Yeah.
It was like herding kittens. And anyway, I got everybody together for the under the guise of the garden party that we were at. And yeah, so we broke the news, and it was a total surprise to everybody.
Yeah. What's it mean though, having that award to you and Lunch Positive?
Well, I mean, it means a lot because it's an award that comes after a lot of diligence from the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service department.
Yeah.
The award's not given easily, so there's a lot goes into receiving it. The first stage is somebody needs to nominate you.
Okay.
And along with the nomination, there need to be supporting letters from people of standing in the community. And in our case, I believe that many of those supporting letters came from the local Lawson unit, from the nurses and consultants there. So that was great to have their endorsement. Then having got through that stage, they then come and visit you, where the volunteers actually work. So they came and visited us here at Dorset Gardens. We had interviews, they checked our paperwork, they spoke to our members. It was a really, really weighty process. Yeah. So it means the world, because we know that it's all based on an assessment of the quality of our work, and more than anything, the input and the commitment of the volunteers.
Yeah.
And it's only given to groups that are truly led by volunteers, where volunteers are more than just people that come along and do the work.
Yeah.
They're people that have input into the organisation and the group and the thinking behind everything.
Yeah. Which is amazing, absolutely amazing. So what's going to happen with Lunch Positive? Any developments? What's going on?
Well, I mean, things are continually developing with us, really. So again, all very much focused on the input of volunteers and people giving their time to support what we do.
Yeah.
The Lunch Club continues, as it always has on a Friday, but now still working over two floors and always open to new people coming along. And we have a second floor, which is a quieter space for people who kind of, particularly people who are newer or coming along, might be something they find a bit more difficult. So it's a quieter sort of space, safe space for people.
Yeah.
Supper group still happens once a month, and that's still attracting new people as well in the evening. We're working in East Sussex now, doing our regular monthly lunch club on a Saturday in Eastbourne.
Okay, what about the Worthing Hub as well?
And working with the Worthing Hub, and they're a joy to work with, and it's such a great group of people. And you know, that it's mutual aid at its very best. You know, you see everybody offering to help and support one another, and kind of reaching out to each other. So it's really great to be working with them, and we're going to be hosting a visit for them to one of our supper groups very soon. Great. So we'll be bringing them over in our minibus. So looking forward to that.
We've got our Tony who runs it.
Yeah, Tony's great. Yeah. And we worked very closely over COVID, Tony and I, with food deliveries as well in West Sussex. And I suppose biggest news is we're developing our befriending scheme further as well. So very soon we're going to be recruiting new volunteer befrienders. Mm-hmm. So when that time comes, perhaps you can put the word out for us.
Absolutely, that would be
great.
Always.
And having a new wellbeing programme. It's a series of activities. So that could be leisure activities such as trips and outings, maybe some sporting activities if people are interested.
Yeah.
Some social activities, cinema, theatre. All those sorts of things that enhance the time that people spend with us, so people can have something to do in addition to coming along to the lunch club, or in addition to being part of the befriending scheme.
Yeah.
Additional support.
It's all
for
those
people.
Things that add on and help people.
Absolutely.
How do you think it's changed now we're coming out of COVID? Mm. Has things changed? How are people reacting to going back into normal life?
I think it's a real mixture. I mean, we see many people who, through COVID, obviously, we're very isolated, as were vast numbers of people in our community. So we see some people who have a real drive to re-engage and be part of things again.
Yeah.
We see lots of new people for whom many of whom didn't use services or get support before COVID, and are now looking for that, and they're finding their way to us quite steadily.
Yeah.
Lots of people are being signposted or referred to from the Lawson unit again. And we still see, and we're still in touch with many people who have still actually kind of encounter challenges and barriers, really. People who are still quite anxious and nervous about coming to group activities or face-to-face activities.
It's taken a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. So, you know, I think there's a real mixture of people out there. And people are still all at very different stages, that's the thing. So I think in everything we do, we're trying to provide activities and support that meets people at whatever stage they're at, really, which is the reason why we've got so many different things happening.
Yeah, which is great, and it's moving forward into a new era, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got a fundraiser tonight, haven't you?
It's on Thursday. Yes, fundraiser at the Camelford Arms. It's their fantastic pub quiz.
Which is really, yeah, that does really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've been to that before, and I've had a great time. So we're going to be putting a couple of teams in as well. So yeah, it's brilliant. It's probably one of our first pub fundraisers since COVID, actually. So we're really, really grateful to them for that. Yeah, so they'll be doing the pub quiz. There'll be a prize, there'll be a raffle and so forth. So yeah, anybody wants to go along to that, please do. I believe the quiz starts at 9.
Yeah, that's tonight. So you've got an hour to get ready.
Absolutely, yeah.
To get your bags on.
Get along there tonight, indeed.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, and could you just give us, so people, if people want to get in contact with volunteering as well, because that's always an important part, how do people get in contact with you and Lunch Positive?
If people want to get in contact with us or find out more, the website is a good port of call. So we have all of our support and our projects listed on there. So just search for lunchpositive.org. And we've got a Facebook page and Twitter pages as well, just that they're all at Lunch Positive. So, and they all hold information and direct you to the website as well.
Right. Is there anything else you want to add?
I think what I'd also like to say is, everything that we do at Lunch Positive, as reflected in the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, is based on the gift of time and the commitment of people to our work and volunteering for it. You know, it's been 13 years of people giving voluntary time to this organisation, and Lunch Positive is actually built on volunteering and continues to be built and driven by volunteering as well. So I'd love to say a massive thanks to all of our current volunteers and also all of our volunteers who don't longer volunteer with us, but we know are still out there in the community, who played such an important part over the years as well. So to everybody who's been involved in volunteering, thank you.
Yes, and thank you. No, and thank you as well from us as well. So congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much. We'll bask in the glow.
Yes, you'll have to wear a new hat.
Indeed.
Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. And what do we think about that interview with Gary Pardister from Lunch Positive? Really brilliant. What do you guys think?
Yeah, another.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Well worth,
really well deserved for their award, and he does such good work not only in West Sussex but East Sussex as well. He supports us at the Worthing Hub, and his team are amazing.
Brilliant. All should be very proud, and I'm sure they are.
It's good to be recognised, isn't it? Because he does such a good job, doesn't he? As well, the whole team do an amazing job. Congratulations, Gary, and the team.
So we've got some world news, don't we, Josh?
Yes, we do. Do you want to go first, Stephen?
I'll go first, yeah. So my story actually comes from the UK this time. Usually it's from different places, but we're in the UK this time. And it is people living with HIV in the UK have an increased risk of mental illness. Now, this study was done by Tiffany Goddard and the colleagues at the Lancet HIV. And it shows how people living with HIV in the UK have a higher risk of developing mental illness than people without HIV. During the study, people living with HIV had a 63% greater risk of being diagnosed with mental illness compared to people without HIV. It's been well documented that the prevalence of mental illness, including depression, anxiety, and severe mental illness, is higher amongst people living with HIV. However, this is probably the first study to report new cases of the condition in people living with HIV using a matched cohort population-based approach, therefore providing better evidence of this disproportionate impact on mental illness in people living with or without people living with HIV. Now, the study was conducted between 2000, the year 2000 and 2020, using data from large UK primary care databases to compare new mental illnesses in 7,167 people living with HIV and a control group of people without HIV who had no diagnosis of mental illness. The matching process in both groups was based on the region, age, sex, their ethnicity, their smoking status, body mass index, substance use, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and diabetes. And the researchers also look at these variables to draw the conclusion on how the increased risk of mental illness varies in people, in groups of people living with HIV. Then their finding shows that 586 people living with HIV develop mental illness compared to 418 people without HIV in 20 years of the study. More specifically, they found a higher incidence of depression, anxiety, and severe mental illness, such as psychosis, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder in people living with HIV than in people without HIV. For 495 people living with HIV developed depression, 266 anxiety, and 64 severe mental illness, compared to 214 and 30 respectively in people without HIV. Now, the risk changed most notably with sex, showing men living with HIV had two times the increased risk of mental illness compared to those without, whilst women didn't present any differences between the two cohorts. The risk of mental illness was elevated for those living with HIV, irrespective of age, smoking status, and their risk did not decline over the 20 years of the study. People living with HIV who were white, not obese, or did not use drugs or drink heavily had an increase of mental illness, whereas those from ethnic minorities who were obese and did not. So it shows you that we've got to, you know, we've got to be careful, and we've got to be aware of our own mental state, and you know, it's important to keep checking on one another, and because, you know, obviously having HIV for a lot of people can cause them to get sick, and so it's important to keep an eye on those things.
Can I ask, does anyone think getting HIV that their mental health has suffered? I know mine has quite a lot.
I know mine did back in the day, you know, the first 2 years diagnosed, very definitely, you know, I didn't want to be here anymore. And I'd never felt that, you know, in my life before. So, yeah.
I didn't tell anyone for a few, I've said this on the show before, but I didn't tell anyone for a few years. Mm-hmm. And that, because I didn't want people to know, and my job being a barber was like, I don't want people to know that. And that kind of, I think that set me up for a crash.
Those secrets, isn't it? Those hidings.
But there's a lot of sport out there, isn't there? So
there is.
Mental mind, and I know THD do
the cancer service.
You've got some world news, haven't you, Josh?
Yes. So this is military time. So this is in America. A new policy keeps HIV positive troops deployable, bars involuntary separation in some cases. A new Defense Department policy allows HIV-positive service members with an undetectable viral load to not only stay in uniform but remain deployable. New guidance laid out in a memo released Monday reverses a previous policy that allowed commanders to involuntarily separate troops with HIV, prevent them from deploying, which can result in a discharge on its own. And prevent enlisted troops from attending officer candidate school and earning a commission. So the memo from the Defence Secretary, Lloyd Austin, cites significant advances in the diagnosis, treatment and prevention of HIV as the impetus for the policy change. And there was a 2019 report by the Congressional Research Service that found about 350 service members are diagnosed with HIV annually. So it's 27% per 100,000 troops, and this is in America. The update comes as DOD, the Department of Defense, has been party to multiple recent lawsuits having to do with HIV and military service. In April, a federal judge in Virginia ruled that the services can't discharge or prevent the commissioning of current service members based solely on their status. However, HIV-positive status is still disqualifying from anyone who wants to join the military, except in cases where a cadet or midshipman is diagnosed while already participating in a commissioning program. So it's interesting. The policy also keeps troops deployable, which is another prerequisite for service in general. So it's, I mean, things are changing in the
because we've had changes over here, haven't we? So, you know, I know Ollie Brown has been very in you know, making sure that our Army, Navy type people have had change. But it's good to see that, you know, that the US just think that they're going to do something as well.
Because they've always seemed like a bigger nut to crack, haven't they?
So the service members or cadets who test positive for HIV will be referred for treatment, then evaluated individually, and then the viral load, if it's controllable, the viral load, they can stay in uniform. If not, they will go through the medical board process and eventually be discharged.
Radio Reverb.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. So I've got some community news coming up, and I think Tony's got some as well. So first of all, I just wanted to talk about More to Me Than HIV. Now, you will have heard us talking about this campaign before, because obviously it was done in Brighton probably about 6 months ago. And now it's come to London. The exhibition is in London.
Amazing.
So I was there at the private viewing last night with David Frey and Angus, who took the photographs. And it was just great. It was great to see. It was great for my friends, because obviously I'm based in London. So it was great for my friends to be able to come and see the pictures and meet all the, you know, it reminded me of how wonderful advocates can be, you know, because it was lovely. It was like going up meeting friends again, you know, that you've worked with on different campaigns. So that's going to be on for the whole of June over at the Lighthouse Gallery. So it's definitely worth going to see. They've also got books as well, guys. They've made prints of and they've put them in a little book, so you can buy the book as well. It's definitely worth along. And the money's going to three different charities, all HIV related. So that's worth doing if you're in London.
Well, we've got a bit of Oxbox you did, didn't you, with David Frey, who's one of the organisers. So should we listen to that quickly?
Yeah, a little clip from me, David, outside the Lighthouse last night.
I am standing here in the centre of London at the moment with David, and David's been on the HIV Hour before, because David is one of the people behind More to Me Than HIV. And David, the exhibition is now in London, isn't it?
It is, yeah, for the whole month of June, from the 1st to the 30th of June. And tonight, as you know, we've just been at the private view and we've had a fantastic turnout. About 50 people have come to see the exhibition, and we're raising money for three fantastic charities, which are Prepster, the 4M Network, and the Martin Fisher Foundation. So come along to the exhibition. We're selling catalogues of the prints, and we're also selling the prints, both framed and unframed, here for the whole month of June. And what we're really pleased to have it in London. And what we think is, this project is for us, for our community, and we'd love to see this go to other cities as well.
It must be really exciting, because it was great seeing it in Brighton, but it must be really exciting to think, wow, it's come to London.
And we've got some new portraits that people who have been to the Brighton exhibition won't have seen. So if you're living in Brighton, get yourselves up to London, because you won't have seen these portraits.
Exactly, new faces.
All the portraits, of course, are on our website, and they're all audio described for people with visual impairments. We've had a great turnout. We're really grateful to the London Lighthouse Gallery and Studio for hosting the exhibition. So we're in London City Island from the 1st to the 30th of June.
Okay, everybody. So try and get along to see this, because it's a great exhibition. And as David said, it's for a great cause, great causes.
Yeah, three great causes.
Yeah, and the pictures are amazing as well. Okay, thanks very much, David.
Yes, Steve.
So, Tony, what's happening with the Worthing Hub?
So, we meet every other Tuesday, and the Tuesday that we don't meet, we meet on a Wednesday now. So, it was this Tuesday, and it's going to be next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we've got an afternoon tea with Gary at Lunch Positive in Worthing. So that's good from 2 till 4. And yeah, that's about it. We're just, we had a barbecue last week on Jubilee weekend, which was good. We had like 18, I think, turn up for that, which was great.
Oh, brilliant.
Including someone from Metro Charity and stuff like that there. So it's good. It was good to see some good old faces. I don't mean old as in old, but
be careful.
And no one got sick with my cooking, which was great. No one's sick.
Oh, that's good.
I've got
a press release from the Sussex Beacon. So they're merging with Peer Action, which is another charity in Brighton. So Peer Action and Sussex Beacon have agreed to collaborate to ensure that the activities provided by Peer Action can continue following the winding up of the charity. The two charities will work together to create a place within the Sussex Beacon's organisation where the peer-led nature of Peer Action's work will be preserved, which is good, really, because they were going for years, weren't they, Peer Action?
Yeah.
So the Sussex Beacon will use its resources where possible to facilitate the continuation of activities, because I think they're swimming and they do yoga and things, don't they? Sensible, all that kind of stuff. So a working group has been set up, including trustees from Peer Action and senior staff from the Sussex Beacon to oversee the transfer. Peer Action users will receive regular bulletins on what's happening and the progress. Jane Phoenix, the chair of the Beacon, said, "We are delighted to be working to secure the activities of Peer Action and to build on fantastic work that the charity has done." So, one to watch.
Just thinking, Josh, I'm just, you're right. I mean, Peer Action has been going for some years and it's sort of relied on other charities to support them to put on their, you know, the services that they're delivering. And that's great that you know, they've come together with the Sussex Beacon and it sort of stabilises them a bit more. So that's really great news, I think.
There seems to be a lot of collaborations, doesn't there, I think? And that's what makes it really good, that people are starting to collaborate, like with Multimedia and HIV, with the Martin Fisher Foundation. We're all kind of working together, and which is how it's meant to be, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So what a great show. We've done it again. We've done it again. Amazing.
Hello.
How was it for everyone? How was it for everyone?
How was it for you?
It'd be great to get back in the studio, I know. So we finished tonight. Thank you everyone for listening and
take care everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye everyone. Bye.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.